Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, September the 30th, 2022. Last day in the month of September, 17 minutes past the hour, and we have a very special guest this hour who has been on the program in the past. She called this week and said she had a very special message for me and the listening audience, and we want to hear what it is this hour. We turn the microphones over to a lady who has run for mayor, political office, and is a well-known prophetess in the Toledo, Ohio area, Opal Covey. Opal, how are you?
Opal, I'm just fine. I'm getting through what I have to get through right now with my sister's death.
I'm sorry to hear of the passing of your sister.
Well, I knew she was going to be killed. She was murdered. What it was, the scammers, I had said this before on the air, I don't know if they remember, but scammers came and tried to kill me November the 26th. I was standing in my house, and I was talking to Bonnie, my sister. This is about my sister, Bonnie, who was incompetent and mentally ill, and the scammer broke into my house and poured chloroform, doused in chips or whatever, and while I was standing talking to my sister, and I just got out of the shower, and I was completely naked, and they poured it over my head to kill me. Now, the reason they wanted me dead was that this scammer had put my sister up to do anything to me to give up the payee. I was the payee for her. And she had been acting up and acting stupid and everything, any way that she could to try to get the money from me, which he had promised her he would take her to, he would be the payee, the scammer, and he would be the payee, and she could live with him. And, of course, live as boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, you know. And so they tried she tried everything to make me hit her or do something so she could go to Social Security and complain about me. Well, I wouldn't do it. I caught on. And of course, I have no charges or nothing against me, no complaints or nothing. And so I withstood her, and I said, "You're in the right place. You get a roof over your head and food and everything, staying with your own sister." And I had taken care of Bonnie for 23 years of her 73-year life. And so with no complaints about the family or nothing. So this was scammers that set up. They had me targeted that they were going to take Bonnie. They kidnapped her. They would take Bonnie, and they would take me to court and say, "I'm mentally ill." Then they would take all of my property and put me in a nursing home. That's what they were up to, but I stopped them. So here's what happened really quick. I'm not stringing it out. I'm trying to just say the facts. That's what they were up to. He wanted Bonnie's payee. She was getting a widow's pension. And so, anyway, he said, "Get that payee and give it to me, and brainwashed her, and you can live with me." Well, she couldn't get it, and I said, "You have to go through court or whatever to do something like that." And anyway, when they couldn't break me down to give it to them, which I had no authority to, then they devised the killing to murder me. So both of them devised it, coerced together, that they would murder me. So I didn't know that. I didn't know they were devising that. And so I was standing, naked. I just got out of the shower on the 26th of November last year, and the scammer snuck up behind me while I was talking to my sister. And they had already put limbs on my telephone to stop my telephone, so he wouldn't get caught. And he poured this on my head, and I went out, went to the floor, and passed out. And next thing, I woke up while I was up on the loft of my bathroom, which my bathroom is real close where I was standing. And I was laying flat on those rafters up there. And I woke up for a minute, and I said, oh, where am I? Where am I? And then I started yelling for my sister, and I said, Bonnie, get me help, get me help. Well, the Lord sent an angel by to get me help. She couldn't get me help because she was in on the scamming herself, and she wanted me dead. And I heard them say, is she dead? Me, meaning me. That was their purpose, to put me up in the loft, and I would smell and stink or something. They would take over my house and everything because if I was dead. And then when I started yelling that I was not dead, the Lord kept me and gave me a miracle, and it was life-threatening, and they thought I was going to die. And next thing, my mailman came by. He was my angel the Lord sent, and he saw there was trouble, and he called a 911, and they came here quickly and took me to the hospital unconscious on life-threatening. And I was laying in the floor, and he saw me. He's a witness, and he saw me covered up with a blanket and barely breathing. Well, anyway, I went to the hospital, and I spent 41 days there from November 26th till January the 6th. And when I got out, my house was trashed, and my dog, I had a dog, and it was given to the Humane Society. These scammers did all of this, and then they kidnapped and ran away with Bonnie. And I've never seen Bonnie since, until I see her Monday in the funeral home. And so anyway, that's when the funeral is going to be. But anyway, this story went on all of these months. I was trying to get her out. The court was behind it, and they had her locked down in a nursing home called Aiden, and they wouldn't let family, nobody see her. They had her sealed. The court did. And the court is the one that brought the scammers here. And while I was in the hospital, flat on my back, and when I went to the hospital, I couldn't even walk because of that chloroform, and I couldn't hardly eat. And so they got me to health and everything. And while I was in the hospital, before the attempt of murder on me and put me up in the loft, before they did that, why, I was filling out papers to get Bonnie's guardianship. But in the meantime, after they put me in the hospital to keep me from getting that, so they could take over my property. And so while I was in the hospital, flat on my back, while the judge signed an illegal guardianship to the scammers, and they didn't even sign it, phony. And so when I got out, they sent me a paper and said, we are now your guardian. And I looked at it and everything, and I knew it was all phony. And so I began to try to get my sister out of the home and out of the home. And I finally was able to call over there and find out how she was. And I would tell them at the nursing home, please don't give her any medication except one thing, seizure. She had seizure. And I had total care of her, you know, before they tried to kill me. And so anyway, I tried with phone calls, and I tried every way to get her out. And I warned them. I said, nothing better not happen to my sister. And I knew there were scammers, see? So I knew I was dealing with scammers. And so I tried my best to get her out, and then I was filling out more papers after I got out of the hospital trying to get her out. Well, it didn't work. They went to Social Security and got another false, guardianship. And then they took the payee, see, they can take the payee away from you when they get the guardianship. And that's what they did in February, around February 1st of March. And so they took the whole thing away from me. So all I have left is a sister that's locked down. She didn't do any, she had no charges against her. This was fake and phony because they did not want her to talk and tell who the culprit was that poured the stuff over my head and tried to kill me. And they didn't want her to talk. That's why they killed her recently. And so the scammers kept working, trying to keep her mouth shut, wouldn't let me talk to her, wouldn't let me see her, wouldn't let nobody, and had the court to put a seal on her case. And, of course, I went to court about it, and the court refused to allow me to talk to my own sister, which I'd been caring for the past 5 years with no complaint. And so, anyway, I put out a missing person, and the cops saw her, saw a guy, a former guardian, taking her out of the city. And the scammers had already, they almost destroyed my house, my home. They tore it up, garbage all over the floors, and everything, and my animals, my two cats that I loved dearly. They starved them to death with food sitting right in front of the cages that I told my Bonnie how to feed them. And everything was awful. It was just awful. And so I tried up until last Friday, a week ago, is when it happened. They saw, I said, what are you going to do with Bonnie now? You got her. You can't hide her for all of these, for the rest of her life. And so they had to dispose of Bonnie in the nursing home. So I called the morning that they killed her. I called about the time they killed her. I called and I said, I want to know. I would just call periodically, every other day or every day, and ask how Bonnie was and warn them, don't you do her no harm. And the police wouldn't even help me. The detectives wouldn't even come out and talk to me about it. I made police reports. I did everything I could do to stop her murder. And I couldn't do it because the officials here would not go, believe me. They knew it happened, but anyway, they wouldn't, because it's one big family here. They help each other, and so anyway, it came up to Friday a week ago when I called. This came to an end. I called and asked. I told them. I said, I got one message. I knew it was coming to an end, and I thought Bonnie was coming home, because I told him, put her on the porch, bring her home. And they took her out of here just with her clothes on her back, and the rest of her clothes they left and everything to get away. And they left her bed, her walker, and everything. So I knew she was scammed. And I was told by yesterday by officials that this is going on all over the United States. And a person, I wanted to do an autopsy, but that kind of failed. And anyway, when I called for an autopsy, they said, we get these calls every day, and said, there's organizations trying to stop these people that are going around. Says, everything you said to me is what we hear every day. They're killing people. They're taking their property, and it's got to be stopped. And so anyway, it came up to Friday, this last Friday, but Friday before last, when I got the call, when they knew they were in trouble, they had to dispose of Bonnie to keep her from telling who tried to kill me and poured that stuff over my head. And she was the one that had the witness, so they had to get rid of the witness. So I get this phone call the next day, Saturday morning, Friday before this last one. And one of the scammers said on the phone real nicely, she says, Opal, I don't know how to talk to you, say this to you, but Bonnie has passed. I said, what? I screamed. And so I knew that she was going to die. I've been knowing it for years. She was going to die around her time, but I didn't know how. And so anyway, she says, yeah. She passed away. I said, what of? She had a pulmonary. They gave her medication before they left the house and rushed her to St. Charles Hospital, where they rushed the doctor in to put on her her death certificate that she died of natural causes, and I knew she didn't. And so anyway, she said, I said, well, where is she? Or something like that. And she said, she's at the crematory. I said, crematory? Oh, no. I says, I've got a prepaid funeral for her. I never did tell them that because I wasn't going to spill. If I had told them that, they would have killed her months ago. And so anyway, I didn't want them to have charge of that. You see, I still had charge of the funeral, which I still do, and they couldn't take it away with their phony guardianship. Well, anyway, she told me she was at the to be cremated. Says that's all we could do. Well, you shouldn't have taken her and kidnapped her in the first place, and you shouldn't have tried to kill me. You're in trouble. So anyway, I couldn't get through to St. Charles, so I rushed in my car, and I got the creamery. I got the phone number. I got what I needed, and I called the crematory, and as put a stop on Bonnie being cremated. They wanted to do away completely with her body, you see, and I stopped it with my prepaid funeral. I said, well, I've got a prepaid funeral, and so then they rushed the body over to the funeral home where she's at now, and it's a pure murder, right out and out. The court was in on it, and as a matter of fact, the court, one of the judges said to me the other day when I talked to him, and he knew that I was filing papers to get her out of there, you know, before they killed her. And he must have passed the word on, and they went on ahead and killed her. They're trying to get out of getting this guy prosecuted. He's running loose, and I have to watch my back and front side. I have to watch everything because I know they're after me. And again, you see, I lived, and they didn't want me to live, and they put me up in the attic so I would die, and they could step in and say, oh, we found her in the attic. That's the way these scammers do. And so anyway, she died, but I got her over at the funeral home. Funeral's going to be tomorrow, or Monday at 11 o'clock. It's going to be in the newspapers tomorrow, Sunday. And it just almost killed me. Bonnie did not have to die that way. No, her time was not up. I still got her clothes here and everything. I'm taking pictures, and I may have a big lawsuit later on. I don't know. I'm just taking one step at a time. But they killed her, and they're trying to get out of it. And the judge, the magistrate, told me about 2 weeks ago before this happened. I knew it was going to happen. And I was trying desperately to get her out of there, out of their hands. And I told him that he said, "You can write, try to get her out of there, acting like he's a dummy," and but he was in on the conspiracy. And so then before it happened, I just about a day or two before it happened, why I had called the judge, and he said, I told him that Bonnie they were going to murder her. And they tried to kill me. I told him the specifics like I'm telling you. And he's, you know what he yelled at me on the phone? He said, I don't believe a word you're saying. Whew. And he had already signed a paper saying he denied me to see my own sister. He did, and they broke every rule, every nursing home rule. I would never put anybody in a nursing home again or get a guardianship or nothing, because they're nothing but scammers, and they have worked with lies, which I know we don't have all that kind of time for me to tell you. 5 years ago, the court took Bonnie from me, and there was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong. They wanted to give her away, and finally, when the judge knew, and the judge is gone now, you see, they send them away when they're caught up with. And when I caught up with him, and I showed him there was nothing wrong, no nothing on me or anything. They just wanted to take her and give her to a nursing home. And when I exploited it, why, then the magistrate that I said it to, he fixed the report, and I've got it all in my hands. I've got all the paperwork in my hands, ready to go forward to get these people out of commission and go forward and stop these. Now, I understand that there's organizations that are now, have been, and this, I got it, a good message that, true, that they're all over the United States, and we can check it, where they're trying to stop these scammers, the ones that did this and killed Bonnie and tried to kill me, and they couldn't kill me because my time's not up. And so there's a lot of people out there, organizations, she's already told me, that they're trying to stop this scamming of people's homes and their livelihoods and everything. And the only reason Bonnie's dead is because they sought shutting her mouth, but they're not shutting mine.
Now, Opal, how old are they?
This scammer, they kidnapped her. It'd have a lot of charges against them if we get them to justice. And this is what I'm trying to do. Get this man identified. I know his name.
Who is he? Opal?
Get him to justice.
Opal?
And he'll
Hello?
Probably
Opal?
Get a big sentence out of it.
Can you hear me, Opal?
So anyway, I'll stop right there.
No, I just have a question for you. I have a couple questions. How old was your sister?
My sister was 73. She was going to be 74 November the 9th.
Now, was she suffering with any illnesses?
No.
Okay.
She had no illnesses.
Now the other question is, she was in a nursing home, so
yeah.
when she died, mm-hmm. So you say she was killed. Who did that?
Well, I know the name, but it's kind of hard for me to say it right now.
Well, you don't have to say the name, but just who are they? What
They're scammers. The name of the scammers are Lucas County. They came here and set it up, and the judge let them set up an office. And the judge knew that they were scammers. Okay, well, here, they are called Lucas County Guardianship Services Board. They set up a phony office, and they set it up while I was in the hospital so they could take away my guardianship and go forward and try to take my home and everything else. So it was all set up between the judge and all of them. The judge is really the one that signed the guardianship and gave my guardianship away, Bonnie's guardianship away, to these scammers. That's what they did. And then when they had that guardianship, they went to Social Security and told them, and then they got the payee. Because, you know, they can get the payee. They took the payee away from me after they got the phony guardianship. So while I was flat on my back, on the 29th of last year, 29th of December, they hurried up and fixed up a phony guardianship and didn't even sign it. They are called the Lucas County Guardianship Services Board. They made that name up, and they go by LCGSB. They go by that. Those initials, and then on the guardianship and everything, there's no real human signature, and they go by that number, and then they had it all planned that they was going to get away with the attempted murder on me because I was getting ready to get out of the hospital, and when I got out of the hospital on January the 6th, after 41 days recuperating from, that was awful going through it, I just laid, Well, anyway, when I got out, they knew that I had to be notified, you see, because I was a caretaker when they took Bonnie out of here. And I wasn't here. I was in the hospital. They put me in the hospital first, and then they took Bonnie out and scammed my house and everything else. They were mad, and so never returned Bonnie. So when I got out, I received a letter from them, the LSSB. They go by that. And I've got their phone number. I talked to them and told them, don't mess with Bonnie, as I said, and try to get her out. But they got that phony guardianship from Puffenbarger, and so then they went forward with Social Security, and then they had to notify me, and then when they notified me, which I got all this paperwork ready for them, when we go to court, as they put it that way, They said so and so is no longer guardianship of Bonnie. His name was Eichholt, and he was actually the guardianship. And I was filling out papers to take the guardianship back, you know, because he had it illegally. He said, and we are the guardians now. The LSB, as I said it to you, Lucas County Guardianship Services Board, says, now we are the guardian over Bonnie. So they were stopping my hand. They knew when I got out of the hospital that I was going after them. And so they sent two pages, and so one page was a copy of the guardianship, the phony guardianship, which I have in my hands. And no signatures, no seal on the guardianship, notarized, nothing. And it was signed by the judge, which the judge was behind it. So I've uncovered corruption by the judge, and it's mainly lays right there, Puffenbarger. If he didn't sign that, hadn't signed it, Bonnie would be alive today, because I would have had the guardianship. But they took the guardianship from me with false papers while I laid flat on my back. And they were supposed to put that guardianship on hold because before they put me in a hospital and tried to kill me, I was filling out papers to get Bonnie's guardianship restored. I was working on the papers, and they had to stop me. That's why they tried to kill me.
Bonnie was not cremated. Is this correct?
Huh?
She did not end up cremated.
No, she did not. I stopped it. Hey, listen, the Lord is in this. I'm going to tell you guys, the Lord is in every step of the way. And if I hadn't jumped in the car and ran over to St. Charles, she did tell, she said, I said, where'd she die? St. Charles. Well, I knew that. But she said she's in the crematory right now. And since I couldn't get a hold of them, I jumped in the car and I ran over there and got my... And I got a hold of the crematory and told them to stop it. She's got a prepaid funeral. And so that's what got her back into my hands. And I knew a few days before that something was happening to Bonnie, that she was going to come home, but I didn't know she was going to come home in a box. Now, that's the way the Lord was showing me, that she's coming. But he didn't tell me until they told me, because... they didn't know I had kept it a secret from the scammers, because if I hadn't have kept a secret from the scammers after they kidnapped her and put her in lockdown, the judge put her in lockdown to keep, he approved it, and to keep this guy that's on the loose, and I know who he is. I can give you one letter, T, but I know who he is. And Bonnie knew who he was, and Bonnie was going to testify. But anyway, this is the last step, they tried to get rid of Bonnie's body completely where I couldn't lawsuit. Now, I can resume her body at a later time. Yeah.
That's
my alternative.
So the hospital said that she died of a pulmonary issue.
She did not.
So what did she die of?
She died of a broken heart because she wanted to see me. And they lied and said she didn't want to see you. And they told her to lie to the court lied that Bonnie said things that she did not say. And I repudiated that. And I said, no, Bonnie, don't do that. When she's in trouble, she calls on me. They wouldn't let her make a phone call. They wouldn't let the family go see her or nothing, because she would have spilled the beans who the guy was that tried to murder me. And they had to shut her mouth, and they rushed her to St. Charles, and they had a doctor standing by. He didn't even examine her and take any kind of, pictures or anything like that. He didn't examine her. He just wrote his name down and said, this is what she died for, a pulmonary heart. She never had any of that trouble. And I took her to doctors all over, well, for 15 years, I guess, took her to doctors, and they never said that she had any heart trouble. And I had told them on the phone before they killed her, I said, don't give her no heart medicine, nothing. And the insurance companies is sending me the papers, what they gave her. And I know what they gave her. They started filling her body full of medicine when they picked her up and locked her down, And see, mentally ill people, when you lock down mentally ill people, they can commit suicide. And I told him, I said, she couldn't commit suicide, and nothing better not happen to my sister. I warned them many times, probably 20 times, before they finally did away with her. And the only reason they did, and how they did it, they gave her the medication before she left. It was all set before she left the nursing home. And I have proof of what medication it was that they gave her. It can stop the heart. And they took her into St. Charles, didn't call the family, didn't call me. I was here all the time. But something miraculous happened with me. I called, it was kind of like Crosswire. I called at the specific time that they had taken her to St. Charles, or they was killing her, and they gave her this medication before they took her there so she would be dead. And I called there at that specific time. She died at 9:42, and I called around 9, right on target. And you know what I said? I knew they were going to kill her. I said to them, I'd already called them so many times, warning them what to not to do to Bonnie, and get her home, send her home, put her on my porch, and let me handle her. And so anyway, because I was paying before they took her. And so anyway, that's the way they did it. And to stop her mouth, they realized that they had hold of Bonnie, and they were keeping her locked down. And pretty soon, I'm going to report her missing again. And it wasn't working for them. It wasn't working from them. What happened was, is when I started talking and they couldn't kill me, that's when they were in trouble. So that's why all of this happened. And they killed her. They gave her the medication, which I've got a copy of it, from Aetna. And I told them not to give her any medication except seizure pills. That's all she was taking here. She was in perfect health, walking and everything, and when they took her. And so not to do that. And I made a phone call to the nursing, to these scammers. They have a number. I can give you a phone number, but I don't think I should on the air. But I do have two phone numbers of the scammers.
Opal, I have a question. You said
anyway, let me finish here. Just one second, Scott. So I called the scammer, one of the scammers that I had the phone number to that I was trying to work with, get her here. I called the scammers about 9 o'clock, about time they were killing her, and I knew my time it was up, that I couldn't do no more. I had done everything I could do to get her out of there. And so I called them, and I put it on their tape recording. I said, I only have one more message to say to you. And I didn't know she's being killed at that time, but I was led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I said, I only have left to say to her, we love her, the family loves her, give her this message. The family loves her. And I knew they didn't give her messages, but I asked it. And I said, you give her, I knew it was my last message, that we love her and forgive her for, you know, what she's done, and we hope to see you soon. We'll see you soon. And I didn't know it was going to be in a box.
Now, Opal, I condolences on the loss of your sister, but you said something there. You said mm-hmm. that when they give this medication to mentally ill people, mm-hmm. was your sister mentally ill?
And she was classified as incompetent, but she wasn't all that incompetent. She could make up her own mind, and she made her own mind when she wanted to go with that guy. And the money, the widow's pension, was hers. She could spend it, and she could stay anywhere she wanted to. As a matter of fact, if Bonnie had known it, see, they wouldn't let me see her because Bonnie would tell me who did this and give me all the message. And
Opal, did your sister have money? Did she have money?
No. Okay. They couldn't get no money from her because she's only getting a small check each month, and that had to go for her keep. Her dead husband left that in widow's pension, and she never worked a day in her life, so she couldn't get Social Security. And so I have taken care of her since 07 straight, the payee and everything. And Social Security said she can't, because she didn't work, she didn't do a day's work in her life, never paid a penny Social Security, so therefore she can only have widow's pension. Well, see, these scammers didn't know that all about that. You see, they didn't do their homework to find out if Bonnie had any money. All they knew was I was the payee, and she had the payee money, and they were going to take that each month, and they weren't going to put her in, telling Bonnie, brainwashing her, that they weren't going to put her in a nursing home, but she ended up in a nursing home, and that's where they got away with giving her this medicine. They would order it, you know, to be delivered at the nursing home, and I know, and I get reports in my home of what they gave her, and what they gave her killed her, and then they had to get a death certificate and rush to the hospital, and already had a doctor. It didn't even examine her, and when they said she died in the hospital, well, she might have died on the way to the hospital too. I don't have all of that information, but I do have the information that they already had her in the crematory to get rid of her body because of the attempted killing on me, and they locked her down, and she did die of a broken heart because she wanted to get a hold of me to save her. And they wouldn't let me talk to her. The court put a seal on it, and they were in on it. And I went and talked to the court, and I was preparing paperwork at the same time that I said my goodbye to Bonnie on the phone. And I said, I know you won't give her the message because you're the scammers. I identified them all the way. You're the scammers. You stole Bonnie. You took her out of her home. You broke into my house illegally. You weren't. I didn't invite you in here, or nothing. You know, I went 49 yards.
Oh, but I
spent 41 days in the hospital recuperating. Cold crime on me.
Yeah.
You see.
Opal, with about 6 minutes left here, and I want to ask this because. And forgive me, but, you know, people who might be listening to this now and the people there in Toledo.
Can you talk a little louder?
Yeah, is that any better, Opal?
Yes, better.
Okay, good. For people who might be listening to this now or the people up in Toledo who say, you're nuts, what would you say to them? Who might be
that
hearing
what?
This?
I'm nuts?
You're nuts. The people listening. Yeah, what would you say to those people?
I'm going to say to those people, haven't I been around Toledo since 1977? Have you seen any corruption out of me? No. Okay, and I've lived a good life. I have many friends, about a couple hundred thousand on the website, or more than that right now, and they presented me a celebrity as a very upstanding person. So I'm not nuts, and I have been well versed in the word of the Lord, and I was a detective to find these things out, which I have uncovered great stealing and corruption against people and the citizens and everything. They stole my votes and everything. So I came to this city to do away with corruption. And, of course, I was eyeballed right there. They didn't want God in this city. I won the election about three times, and I finally had to stop because the Democrats were doing everything, even set my car afire, and trying to do everything they could to get rid of me, and I won the 15, election where seven of us ran, and I did win that. And the Lord said, he talked to me about it, told me, and this is prophecy. He said, you won that election on the 15th, but said the Satan sent these people to try to make you not win it. You know, the Satan sent six of them. And I was the number seven. But he said Satan sent them to try to make you not win, you know, because it was on the count alone, you see. And I had more votes than any of them. And he said, you won it and by a margin. And said, if you don't get it, if they don't give it to you, you know it's stolen. that election was, that's what the Lord said about the 2015 election. And then people were coming here, and they always trusted me, and I have a great ministry here, and they're honking at me all the time, Oval for President and everything. I have no harm for my people, and they depend upon me for the real truth. And you people out there, this is the real, real, bona fide truth, and I don't even have to say that because they know me. And they've heard me on other talk shows in California and Connecticut, and I guess I'm going around the world, and I put two more messages on the website just here recently, and I was getting ready. Well, I'm getting ready to put one more on there about her death, but her death is going on the website, I understand, from the funeral home. But every word I said is the truth. And there's more to it, but I told you, their escapade, their mannerism, and that's how they work people to get their property and everything. And I know even of one person who they came in and took all of their property, and this happened about 5 years ago. I watched it happen right from my doorstep, how they threw all their stuff out and took their money. You see, they're after the money up top, but they're also after your property. And I was scammed. I was pinpointed, chosen, before they came to Toledo. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to set up a office to work out of so they could scam me out of my property. And so, but they can't. I'm not going to say what I've got done, but they can't. And I stopped them, and they have fallen flat in their face. And I'm saying to you people, I would not get on the radio unless I knew everything I'm talking about and my work for the Lord and everything is going forward greater than ever before. And I'm getting ready to put up signs, and I would not say anything wrong. They know me. See, I would not say anything wrong to hurt my ministry, and my ministry is really great. And people every day yelling at me, "Hi, Opal, we love you, we love you." And this is why they love me, is because I'm truthful, and I've given the truth biblically. I'm helping people greatly. I'm telling them things that the churches don't tell them, and everything. I'm busting corruption. I just busted the corruption of a church here. And I'm still, like I said, I was a detective before I came to Toledo. I busted witchcraft in a church, and then I came to Toledo, and I knew it was going to be, the Lord said, you're going to suffer great persecution, and they didn't want me of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this city, so they took everything away from me. The police won't help me or anything. Okay, that's the kind of persecution you get for the truth. And I'm exposing it, and I went. They stole my businesses, four of them. The city did, because they were.
Hello, Opal. Are you there, Opal? Well, we've run out of time.
They know that I know that they stole my election about three times. And gave
yes.
it away, and what they do, I saw the bad guys right there when I was over casting my vote in 2015, when I was over there casting my votes, I saw the henchmen standing right there, and they had the Board of Elections had the windows painted.
Well, I think something happened there. We lost Opal. The line went dead. Maybe her phone went dead. But we send condolences on the loss of her sister, and we hope she's doing well. Opal called us this morning and said, I did not know what she had to say, but she said she wanted to come on, and there was the 45 minutes. All right. Well, we'll be back. Don't change that dial.
Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays, and you can call